Yeah. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Webb here at StuWebb.com, and it is September the 27th, 2020, Sunday. And I have the honor to have Professor Paul on. Jeff and Heidi, we've had a discussion before on the air, a couple of them. And with that said, we're having a round table once again. And we're going to be talking about all kinds of things, end time prophecies, a lot of things we can expect as Christians, as Americans. And with that said, Paul, I'm going to let you lead this one.
Thanks, Stu. I sent out a template earlier to everybody, and I thought I would just work off that and introduce a number of topics just with my introduction. What I'm seeing right now is the criminality of the present system. We don't have rule of law anymore, and that's by design. And that perversity that is so widespread, it makes it problematic to keep believing in the status quo, the present system. And, of course, that opens us up to a wide-ranging discussion. But what I'm arguing is the tapestry is ripped. No longer is we can't accept the status quo. It's a foundation that it's a foundation made with sand. It's going to cave in, and by design again. And of course, they created this system to collapse. And by they, I'm talking about our parasitical leaders, the global deep state, and so what they've done is through deception and destruction proposed to us an answer which, you know, ranges from war to depopulation to their agendas 21 and 2030. And of course, those are all couched in these terms like we're going to have a better world. But it's kind of tough to believe in the better world that they've offered us, because way back in 1993 in Rio, the parasitical globalist leaders declared the war was against humanity itself. Yes, us, we're the problem, not the parasites that created debt slavery and created World War I and World War II. No, we were supposed to believe this time it's going to be different. And this time we're going to be led to our new nirvana through Black Lives Matter, peaceful protests, and Antifa, and George Soros's open society. When in reality, what I'm seeing is a scientific technocracy or a scientific dictatorship. And the scientific dictatorship is how they're going to try and implement, well, they're already a long ways towards their new world order, which is a one world governance, one world currency, one world religion. And as we look around late September, we're pretty close to a currency reset. We've already got the surveillance state. We're already being told we need to all get tested. We all need to social distance. We all need to wear masks. We all need to get vaccinated. And if that wasn't enough for everyone listening, let's throw in a couple more things. We've got a fifth column all over America right now. The Chinese and the Russians are here. They're here under the United Nations, but they're also infiltrated through the drug trade and through human and sex trafficking. And we've got fiat currency, the dollars, the world reserve currency. And right now, we've violated every promise they've made to all of us that the dollar would somehow keep some of its value. And instead, we get phony markets and manipulated markets. And at the local level, they've infiltrated all of our institutions. And so at the city level, you got these nebulous goals like sustainability and inclusivity and equality. And they're going to eradicate poverty and hunger. Anyway, it goes on and on and on. And so what I'm describing to you guys and to the listeners is the beast system. This is the Fourth Reich's beast system. And One of the things I have to admit is because I've been awake and aware for a long time and studying it for a long time is they have externalized the hierarchy. The parasitical leaders have exposed themselves for who they are. They are Luciferian. They are satanic. They are globalists. And in the beast system, the god with a little g is none other than Lucifer. And you wonder, well, why did they do this? How come they're spraying our skies with stratosphere aerosol injections and chemical nucleation ice and solar radiation management? How could they do this to themselves? What? Why are they doing this to their friends, their families? How did it get to this point? Well, the simple answer is they had a big plan. They had a vision. They've been following it for a long time. It's a long-range plan. And they've been able to compartmentalize and put people and institutions and organizations in silos. And in a silo, you know, you can't put your head up above the cubicle and say, hey, we're working on this. What are you guys working on? No, everyone's got their specific role, their specific tasks. And so what they've done is they've worked the big picture, the big plan, the New World Order, and then simultaneously they've worked things from the grassroots level. They've penetrated everybody that either was idealistic or criminally corrupt, and they penetrated and infiltrated and subverted everyone at the local level. And then at the top level, they've got schemes to bribe and blackmail and control and coerce. So we are really getting very close, in my estimation, to their stated goal of a scientific dictatorship. Now I realize I've covered a lot of territory, guys. So I invite Heidi, Steve, Stu, you guys to comment on anything that I've introduced so far.
Oh, go ahead, Heidi or Jeff, either one.
Yeah, that's a big umbrella. I would comment with, you know, it's kind of the 180 world we live in. You know, everything that we see seems to be an opposite. You know, you mentioned sustainability, and I know we've talked about that. But just in anything that you find or that we do, even financial system, yeah, the one we're in is absolutely unsustainable. I mean, we've talked about, you know, replacing equity with debt. So we survive in a credit world. We don't survive in a world above the plane, so to speak, with real equity, with real ownership. We don't have that anymore. We've given that over, not necessarily knowingly. That's what's run out the back door with a lot of these corporations that are doing these stock buybacks. They're raising debts to buy their own stock to get the board of directors fat and sassy and out of here with the money out the back door. So the things that we see on the surface, you know, this you mentioned, I just feel like it's such a 180. You can talk to somebody about something and they have a polar opposite view, and yet it's 100%, 180% wrong, I guess in my estimation, maybe yours. But that's the odd thing, the deception in how we see things and how it's tainted so that what we think we see isn't reality.
You know, Jeff, I think you're spot on in terms of just right now, there seems to be such a cloak, an absolute, like you said, deception. And to see this permeate what at one point in time were highly intellectual, who I thought were very, very smart people who could see and have discernment. But now we understand true discernment only comes from the Lord, period. So if we think, if any one person thinks that they have everything figured out, we know they're being deceived. And the one thing that overwhelmingly, as I'm visiting with people, and I cannot even begin to tell you the number of people who have shared with me, if I ask them their perceptions of what we are currently navigating nationally and globally, is I don't know how many believers, how many Christ followers have said, we've got to remember, he is in control. He will be in the end is drawing near. And right now we can try and figure out what man the chess game that man is playing on a global level. But honestly, right now, our number one imperative is get the truth out. Help share the truth in a loving yet very bold manner, and that is the gospel and what is to come and how to prepare.
Wow, powerful, Stu.
I'm in agreement with you there. You know, I used to think that, wow, I'm going to make a difference, you know. 1989, 1990, shut down something I didn't even know what I was up against. And now I look at it going, oh, my God. And here we are, biblical times, end-time prophecies, things that have been discussed for years that I've heard in the different churches, the different Christians, the different people. And, you know, I kept saying to myself, God, can we set this thing back? Can we set it back by 50 years, give this generation behind us and the one behind them, give them the chance to find salvation? Because okay, I used this phrase earlier on a show, Paul was on with Scott Bennett, that I heard from a couple of black friends of mine. I mean, I've got a pretty good black listening audience. I didn't even know I had it. And you know, I respect everybody, whether black, white, pink, polka dot, I don't care. You're a human being. We're
Amen.
Up against the same evil, the same person. That's the enemy. That's the devil and his fallen angels and the whole bit. That's what we're up against, except they're possessing humans. Now, it's the way these children were brought up in this generation. In the black community, as it was put, the mom is, that's my mama's, that's my baby's mama. Because they're, and the divorce rate being so friggin' high and so many households since 1992, living it without wedlock, living together without wedlock. It was way up there, 90% or something like that, 92%. It's what, and the abortion in this country, murders in this country, the drugs in this country, all the things the people have taken upon them since. It sins upon the nation, it sins upon the people, and it's upon us right now, all of us, whether we know it or not. I don't respect about 7 out of 10 Americans because they're idiots. We got, in my opinion, straight up 30% across the board is totally awake, probably full of the Holy Spirit. Maybe, if we're lucky, we might have out of that, I don't know, a third maybe. That's all it takes to create war against the enemy, because the whole war now is spiritual. I've seen it to where I don't think we're going to turn it around unless we get physical, like Scott said today on the show, former Army Intelligence Scott Bennett, that worked in the Snowden building, same building Ed Snowden was in. As he said, we're going to have to take out the top echelon. We're going to have to arrest him. Now, the point here is this. The only thing... The only thing, and I've seen the devil broke my front door down, bang, 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 down the hallway in Dallas, Texas, on carpet, on the floor, concrete floor, and I couldn't understand it. And all of a sudden, I'm waking up in bed, and I got witch doctor next to me, and she's pregnant 3 weeks from delivering my kid. And this thing's got goat-headed nose. It's the goat-headed demon. It's got a goat nose. It's got curled horns on it. It's banging its tail off the wall in the bedroom that separated the vanity from the bedroom. I said, oh, my God. And all I felt was death. And I closed my eyes. I said, in the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus Christ, command you out of here now. It's taking all here. Was this bang. And I jumped straight up off the bed and hit my head on the ceiling, right where a ceiling joist was, put a knot on my head. And I got hit on the other side of the head with a ceiling fan. So it gave me a couple of spots about where the horns were to be. Okay, and I found out it was the devil. I run to my office and open up my file cabinet, grab my gun because I hid it from her. Because she nearly tried to shoot me, the witch doctor. And I was married to her, little demon's daughter. Anyway, I grabbed that gun, and all of a sudden, she's grabbing a hold of my belt on my pants. I barely, nearly shot her, thinking it was it. And then I go up the hallway. I'm flipping a light on. I'm looking, and the front door's laying on the against the wall. It had the bottom hinge bent. I had 3-inch drywall screws inside of the hinges. I always take out and put the long ones in so they get into the 2x4s that are behind the frame, and you don't pull it down too tight. You don't have a gap. But it holds your door in place. People come busting your doors down. Same thing with the locks. This thing knocked the door off the hinges, except for one screw barely hanging out on the bottom hinge, which is bent. I slammed that, and the storm door, aluminum storm door, French door, was laying out along the driveway. Along the garage, it was an L-shaped ranch in Dallas. I've seen, if it wasn't for my belief in Jesus Christ because of my mother instilling it in me as a little kid, about 7 years of age, I see the boogeyman. And they were in a large two-bedroom house, getting ready to buy a five-bedroom house, and they were in a large two-bedroom. Well, that was a couple of years before we moved. I was about 9 when we moved. So about 7 years of age, I see the boogeyman. He's wrestling around in the closet, big walk-in between the two bedrooms. And I see him, and I ugly, oh, man, he looked like the devil to me. I jump up out of that bed, and I run and scream, the boogeyman, the boogeyman. And here my mother and father, my father came out of that bed like lightning. And my mother, she's doing the same thing, grabbing hold of me and checking on the other kids, three siblings. And it happened again. About a half an hour later, and I jumped right in the middle of their bed between the two of them, and I'll tell you what, they brought me back and put me in their bed. And my mom said, if you ever see the devil again, she says, all you have to do is, or the boogeyman, she says, all you have to do is say in the name of Jesus and believe it.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you out of here now, Satan. That's in my craw. If it hadn't been for that, I would have been dead. I guarantee it dead, not knowing what to say when you see the boogeyman. He was friggin' real. I would hate for anybody to see this thing, but it is ugly. I think everybody, all Christians, should experience one good time to see what you're up against.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree.
But we have so much power and authority over this, we've set our foot up on their heads, and they're done. We need enough people on this planet to believe that we can do this and we could turn this thing around. We turn the United States upside down and flip it upside down and shake out all the enemy in a short period of time if there was enough faith of people doing this. What do you think, Paul?
Well, I like what I'm hearing. I always like to hear Heidi think out loud. And Stu, you've got an anecdote and you've got so much experience, and to see the Baphomet, to see the devil incarnate, very few of us have had that intensive experience, and I'm so glad you were prepared for it. And certainly God has led you to your listening audience, or your listening audience to you and us, and that's something that we take very seriously. Boy, I had a big, profound point that I just wanted to make, and I guess I've gone blank for a second. Joffrey, you got a perspective for us. Heidi, you got something to add there?
Yeah, kind of echo a little bit with Stu. I certainly understand the spiritual side of it, you know. And somebody who might say, "Well, I've never heard of anything like that or had that happen." Be glad you haven't. I've had some strange things where it's always, you know. There have been some witnesses too. I guess my brother's been with me a couple times, but the spiritual side of things is extremely real, and it's there. And it usually, for me, I would hear these three knocks. I'd hear three knocks on my wall. And what was that? Three knocks on the side of my truck, and it's always in threes, and it is odd. And but the doubt that it's there, you know, as we don't see, as we look out, we don't see the spiritual battle, but we know it's there. It is so real. I believe it was Elijah who asked that, I can't think of the name of the person who was with him, but he said, "Hey, look, you know, can you see these chariots? Can you see the army of God protecting us against the warriors that are coming at us?" And he didn't. And he asked that God would let him see these chariots of angels that would be fighting on his behalf. And so, you know, the fact that it's there for us is, as Christians, is we know it. Especially we don't look out the window and see it doesn't mean it's not there. It certainly is. And I've heard things, and I've heard the knocks, and I've heard that spiritual side of it. So, no, I have to echo with the truth of what I'm hearing, for sure.
Now, I'd ask one thing. think about this, all three of you, Heidi, Jeff, Paul, and the listeners. It's 5.5 months. The locusts are supposed to be stinging people. They shall seek death, but shall not find it. But the Christians are protected. Do you think it might be that maybe that veil is lifted? I've often wondered about that. It'd scare the holy you-know-what out of everybody that's not saved. All of a sudden, they see all those demons around him. I asked Super Spook one time, Otis Johnson, up on the mountain in Colorado. I said, well, where are they doing this human sacrifice? He said, I can't tell you. I said, why not? We're up here and nobody's around. He goes, you don't see them. They run back in tattletale. I said, what are you talking about, demons? He goes, yeah, you don't see them. They run back in tattletale.
That'd
be unreal. Could you imagine that? Boy, that'd be a wake-up call for everybody, wouldn't it?
Sure would.
Absolutely.
I just want to point out that if one reads the book of Revelation, it is so specific in many parts. And just for example, the two witnesses, that there will be two witnesses and that they're going to have a time where they preach the gospel. And you get a lot of specificity. And then you for instance, locusts and they're biting. We are really, I think, getting very, very close to the veil being totally open to us. We are going to start seeing many, many manifestations in the physical that previously our capacity because of the spectrum or the vibration or the frequency or the resonance that we're in, we've only been allowed to experience or see so much. Now, others, of course, have had more supernatural experiences and dreams and visions, and we're told that God's going to pour out his dreams and visions upon all people, not just believers. And I guess I now remember the point I wanted to make, and that is we are certainly in a spiritual war, but we live in the physical. And where we live right now is America, and not all is good in America. In fact, I would almost argue that we are Babylon. We've got criminally corrupt, parasitical leadership who have, through nook or by crook or by our stupidity or our innocence or everything we learned in kindergarten, they have taken advantage. And the American people, either
second, Paul, it's called crisis creation, crisis solution for crisis control. And what they've done is they've taken over the economy, they've taken over the media, and they've given us propaganda. Go ahead. It's all propaganda.
Here. And so that brings me to the point, what are we battling for at this point? And is it to make Babylon last longer? Is it to make Babylon greater? Or is it to have a kingdom on earth that reflects the Father's will and the Father's words and the Father's love? And Jesus came and he died and he rose on the third day to redeem us. But he also said, hey, if you love me and serve me, then you're going to be my disciple and my witness and have a testimony. And so I really think we're kind of talking nonsense if we're talking about getting another 5 years or 10 years or 20 years if all we're trying to do is get more time in Babylon.
I totally agree. Right now, and the Spirit is just pressing this on my heart. Right now, it is sowing, and it is cultivating, and it is bringing in a harvest. It is sharing the truth. It is being like Paul, like you have said, time and time again, being the watchtower. I mean, everyone has very specific roles, but right now those roles must be biblical. It's no longer, I'm Heidi, I'm the mother of this person. No, I'm Heidi. God gave me the drive, the desire to evangelize, to share the gospel. Paul, you're the watchtower. You are the, you know, you have your specific. Stu, you have yours. You know, Jeffrey, you have yours. We all have got to take up, you know, our identity is in Christ. And man, if there's never been a more powerful time in history, in our personal histories, we have a commission. And our great commission is to get out, share the gospel, utilize all of our gifts and talents and strengths that God wired us for such a time as this, right now.
Well, it's not real difficult for me at this point. I always like to think of myself as a futurist. And now, a futurist is different than someone who practices divination. I'm not going into channeling or to the dark arts or skyring or I'm not employing those types of tools. When I talk about being a futurist, what I'm trying to do is compile data, information, trends, look at the direction of the trends, and a lot of what's happened in the last 150 years is technological. And we've really had the second industrial revolution now, and it's supply chain management, but overarching the supply chain management is the sorcery and the money system and the Grins technologies. The Grins technologies, for the listener, if you're not familiar, we've had 150 years of change regarding genetics. That's the G. Then there's the R, which is robotics, and included in robotics is artificial intelligence, and that's huge. And then, of course, with 5G and 4G and 3G and computers.
Just a second, Paul. Hold on. What you're referring to is reality, folks.
Yeah.
They're called robotoids. They were invented by DuPont back in the 1992 time frame. They're, as an example, everybody that was in Ferguson, Missouri, that was out there demonstrating over the shooting here about 4 or 5 years ago, whatever it was, later, robotoids were sent in, and they held up signs. They looked human. They breathe. They crap. They have sex. The whole bit, the latest models. They're called New Metal. 115, and they would shake your hand, introduce themselves, oh yeah, while they're holding up the sign, black, white, different. Guess what? They took everybody's fingerprints, has been arrested, and was identified. It was in Ferguson, Missouri. Just thought I'd throw that out to you folks. Figure it out. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, that brings me into the S. Well, I is Internet of Things, and that's everything from your computer to the interface with the computer to your search history to every conversation you've ever had, which is part of the surveillance state and so on. The N, of course, is nanotechnology, and that is, you know, so small that it's smaller than an atom. And then, Stu, what you just described is S. Synthetic biology. And earlier I said, well, you know, why are they doing this? Why are our parasitical leaders so intent on deception, destruction, and depopulation? Why are they doing it? What's in it for them? Well, the end game for them is actually not their new world order. That's just for public consumption. Their real end game is H+. And H+ is transhumanism. And if you're transhuman, you're no longer human. You are augmented. You are synthetic. You are supposedly promised immortality. So the parasitic cabal, the leaders, what's in it for them? Why have they done this? What, you know? Power, of course, absolute power corrupts absolutely, and we all know about the seven deadly sins And we know humanity without God, if God's not first in your life, you're going to have a rocky path, and you're not going to control the dark side. The dark entities, those that serve the dark entities, they think that the dark entities are helping us. It's not. The dark entities are controlling them. And most of our leaders, parasitical people in charge, they are under the total control of the evil entities. And once you get in that position,
I've been told that 6 out of congressmen and senators were chipped. Now, this was about 5 years ago. 6 out of 10 were chipped and suspected to be another third cloned.
It's mind-bending, of course, to consider what you're saying, but I think we would be foolish not to consider how vast, how dark, how deep, how bizarre things are right now. I mean, we are, you know, we're still human and in God's image, but I think, Stu, you're onto something there, and I think that for all the people who are going to dismiss us, maybe do your own research and take it to the Lord in prayer. But we are up against a supernatural foe, and they aren't human.
I could tell them stories about the new metal and the robotoids and the whole bit. But as I said, if anybody were to investigate Ferguson, Missouri, why did the Fed send in the robotoids? So they'd know who the hell it was and came back to the rest of them. Go out and find out who was the rest in Ferguson, Missouri. All you people in the black community, especially, that were out there protesting.
Now, are these different?
We made a lot of toys. We have the Invisible Man. He puts on a Brill-looking cloak. It's a long trench coat. It has Brill-looking, like a Brill pod. And he's got an OG meter on him, an OG meter, and you can read about it in the Montauk Project, in which one of the people is dead. He's a whistleblower that I met at a conference at Area 51, they called it. It was about the aliens. But the aliens is Papoose Lake, Nevada out there. So folks, don't get it confused with the conference that goes on. The base there is our test site. On down the street 40 miles away, or up 95, you can see the extra terrestrial highway, they call it now. You can see the alien base being filled up from time to time in about 3 o'clock in the morning. But I don't know why I went off on the technology side. I know things that people have no idea that they have things. If I started talking this stuff in the land for 24 hours, as I said, it would take that satellite, a sonar I get popped with every night, I'd be a dead person like Otis Johnson got popped.
Now, okay, when you were mentioning that about Ferguson, I'm familiar with the term super soldier. Are you talking about the same type of creation?
No, these are robots. It's a technology that they created in 1992, DuPont did. And it's from alien technology, and we have an alien base in Papoose Lake, Nevada, where a friend of mine who was a U.S. scientist, Ed Slade, worked with the aliens, et cetera. This is part of the reason I know these things. I've come across a lot of interesting cat and gators. Over 2,000 of them were locked up with me during Iran-Contra afterwards, and they were locking up all the whistleblowers and everybody. I got zapped, thrown in Springfield, Missouri, where they shrank, said nothing was the matter with me. And the charges were dismissed by the honorable judge in Denver, Richard Mage, with prejudice against me after holding me for 10 and a half months. But I met Otis Johnson. His roommate at the time was under protective custody who had busted John Gotti. And there were a lot of operational things going on in Denver, such as M&L Business Machines. It was a sting operation set up by Ross Perot, after he was appointed by Ronald Reagan to be part of an oversight committee, 6-man team oversight over the CIA. When he saw the CIA was involved in narcotics, so he took, with the presidential permission, and he moved an operation forward. 150 IRS agents and 150 federal agents, mainly CIA and FBI, and he moved an operation forward. And it ended up costing my ex-father-in-law, who owns Silverado Savings, Neil Bush director. He got fined $80 million. Larry Mizell, who took over for him, that the alien is now in, the fallen angel that controls the economy of the United States, basically. And Mizell got fined $10 million. Brownstein, Daddy Bush's CIA top counsel, one of the six CIA counsel, Ben Millman's attorney, since he hired him out of law school in 72 and becomes the head of the CIA's attorney section, had Bill Barr directly underneath him, the current attorney general pushed for a Panama invasion illegally and other things. Brownstein, who was an APEC director, the American Israeli Pact, and who was on the board of directors of Silverado, and who also, Mizell, was on the board of directors of Silverado and an APEC director. Okay. These cat and gators, where is I going with this?
Well, it's technology. What you're indicating, Heidi asked you, who are these super soldiers? And you're saying these guys are actually different.
The development of all these things that I've learned from everybody, all these people, I'm just pointing out the fact I've been locked up with all these people. There were 2,000 people down in Springfield, Missouri. 500 were federal agents trying to bust many of the same people who were in there. Fights broke out all the time because of it. Now, here's the deal. I've come to know things and come to know spooks after living in Vegas, like Ed Slade, super scientist. He was credited for the Apollo landing on the moon. The jet propulsion system he designed, they didn't use. He said they ended up using anti-gravity. They lied to him. Here's the point. All these people that I've come to know and what I do know is so significant today's time frame. I've known 50 whistleblowers who are dead in the past 37 years, people that I've discussed things with and talked with and worked with. We are at a time frame now where the enemy has already taken over the United States of America. The only hope we had that I saw was Donald Trump and a change. And I saw it with General Flynn because he hooked to Otis, my friend, and other things. There's still hope, even with Scott Bennett and other people like him. There are with people that I know that are former prosecutors, former FBI agents, all hope that we're going to have change. They are prepared to pick up guns if necessary and put these animals down. That's my whole point. The technology we have to go take away from the boys, which are in fallen angel possessed who control the United States government. Here in summary, Al Martin, Iran contra whistleblowers, of which he wrote the book, The Conspirators, and I'm going to send all three of the electronic copy because I owned a percent of it, never got a dime out of it, but we got it published. Now, he was the whistleblower. As he said, there's 13 people above the president, 13 men above the president telling what to do. Those are the fallen angels, folks, the aliens controlling the president.
There's a lot of corroborating testimony to what you just said about a ruling parasitical cabal that serve the dark ones. And just a quick anecdote for you. There's a guy named Doug Riggs, and he has a website, dougriggs.org, and he has a ministry where he largely works with program multiples. And I think that's what Heidi was asking about. Where are these program multiples super soldiers that started with Ladensbourne back in Germany at the castle there and Hitler with his plan for the 200 million person army that was going to rule for 1,000 years? And I think that's a really good question, Heidi, and
To give you the answer to that, I would say the clones out of Hope, Arkansas would be part of their army, and the other side are the new metal robots, electronic robots that went into Ferguson, Missouri and took people's fingerprints by touching their hand. Those are the robots. The clones are the humans that don't have a soul or a conscience that are out of Hope, Arkansas, if we've created 10 million.
And I am not one that is going to try to dispute or refute any of that, but I think it's even bigger than that and more vast than that. So from my understanding of MKUltra, it's also been involved with humans that are born like you and I and like all of us have been, you know, from an earthly mother and a earthly father. And once these babies are born, then fairly quickly they are put into a system, a satanic system, where at birth there are spells cast over them, in the womb even, and then when they're born. And then after they're born, in the first 3-5 years of their life, then they're, I'm getting a bunch of feedback. I don't know if it's me or...
There is a little feedback on here. But, you know, when it comes to the human side, what have they been doing since the 50s, like you say, the mind control, okay,
yes,
MKUltra and the whole bit? What are they trying to do? They're trying to change the human being. But what is it about us? We've got a soul. Can they change that?
Well, they think they... I don't know that they've been able to capture the soul, but they certainly feel like they've been able to fracture the soul. And by some estimates now, there are anywhere from 100 to 200 million program multiples worldwide as a offshoot of MKUltra. Now, all of us are familiar with NASA, which was one big front for, of course, we're thinking that the taxpayer dollars went to NASA, but in fact, there's another economy, and there's an economy where they're developing the Grinch technologies underground and other places, and now they've really infiltrated all the universities. But you have the Fourth Reich was busy on a lot of things. They were contacting the so-called aliens that we know are the fallen ones. And they were also working on mind control or splitting their fracturing the soul and splitting the personality. And then you got them in the technological realms, and the official program, the FACE program, is NASA. But underneath that are the DUMBs, deep underground military bases, and the secret physics, or the physics that we aren't taught or that we don't know. And all of that is hidden from us. Are largely hidden. I mean, for those that want to research it, you can find out a lot of information, but then you got to really be cognizant of what is true and what's reality. And reality is kind of hard to know anymore because we are just inundated with so much false information. And I turn it back to Jeffrey and Heidi.
If I may, all the false information that's come forward has been designed. It's a crisis creation, crisis solution for crisis control, and it is a combination of everything. But what they've done to the fracture of these children, these are the ones behind me. I'm 66 years of age, and I'm looking behind me, okay? And I'm saying, we got a big mess back here of the human race, and they did it to us. Go ahead, Heidi, or Paul.
Well, Heidi and Steve, we have really, we've kind of gone from zero to Mach 4. And to kind of hang with us, I think we need your perspective because we've got to get this round table so that we've got some feedback to what we've been saying. What are your observations, Heidi? What are your observations, Jeffrey?
Jeffrey, go ahead.
Okay. Let's go back, I guess, a little bit to maybe what the war against humanity. I mean, you know, we could talk about we're seeing forest fires. We're seeing chemical plants in China being blown up. We're seeing refineries in Oklahoma and Texas being dude, you know, direct energy weapon. Seeing things going on all over the place. And, you know, we're hearing of the wars and the rumors of wars and, you know, a lot of this gray terror, and we've got epidemics, we've got bioweapons. All of these are precursors, you know, like Matthew 24 talks about, to birth pangs. And so to not expect that we're going to see this is stupid. I mean, we're going to see this, and we're going to see more. So, you know, getting geared up, prayed up, or armored up spiritually, I don't think we can emphasize that enough. If we're not, now, I'm gonna segue just a little bit real quick. I know you guys had a gentleman on. I wish I'd have been able to hear him. I have to go back and listen to Mr. Bennett speak. But there was also a along this line, just the Spetsnaz. There's a book about the Spetsnaz and what their objective is. And so we're saying, hey, what's going on in the world? Well, you know, we've got Chinese and Russian implants that are already here. And one of the objectives of these Spetsnaz is to infiltrate, to understand how we operate over here, to blend in with, you know, from a perspective of an athlete or a business person. I mean, these people have a mission in mind to infiltrate, facilitate, and unmercifully project and show us a side that is so evil that you just don't even want to deal with it. They want to discharge cruelty with absolute ferociousness during their operation. So these things are swelling up around us. We haven't seen all of them come to fruition, but there's pockets of these things. And Jeremiah talks about fanners, you know, these implants and these fumes that get fanned and these operations that just pop up out of nowhere, like out of the ground. And then it talks about Jeremiah a little further. And Paul, you've been good about sharing your insights with Jeremiah. But, you know, the men will be like women. And so we've got people who are frightened. They're scared to death. But we have a real spiritual war, and we have a real physical war on our doorstep. You know, and when you guys are out here explaining this to people and the audience and people like ourselves who are listening in, help us understand the lateness of the hour. Help us understand our role as Christians. Help us understand what we're up against, not to fear it, not to be afraid, but just to know the enemy. If you don't know the enemy, you're going to be obliterated by the enemy. If you can't think as deeply or as ferociously as your opponent, you'll be owned by that opponent. So knowing that, there is a time when Christians will be asked to raise up and to fight back. I believe that might be in the remnant portion of our spiritual lives, but regardless, there's a season for everything, and we know that in Ecclesiastes. So I think the preparation mentally, but primarily spiritually, without that, I mean, forget the other. But anyway, that's just some thoughts. You guys have brought up literally, like you said, from zero to Mach 4. There are 50 shows on just what you guys have brought up. I mean, it's just hard to get my arms around what's going on with some of the things you say, because there's so much there. I mean, it's good stuff, but it's great to know. Anyway, that's just some thoughts I had.
Well, and I would totally concur with that. And alongside that, Stu, when you were sharing, it just takes me back to ultimately the truth tellers are squashed. They're rounded up. And we are seeing that now, those of us that are in social media, we are seeing that censorship. We're seeing that by, you know, people falling prey to these, you know, PolitiFact or Facebook saying, well, the story that you are sharing is partly true or not true or conspiracy. You know, you heard these labels of conspiracy theory and this and that. And what I'm seeing is those few of you that, excuse me, had the balls to stand up to those in elevated platforms or elevated political situations, those of you that did that, now there's even a few more in terms of being able to utilize the technology that we have now, but are still being silenced. And I keep sharing with people, you know, if someone gets censored, they're probably speaking the truth. If someone gets shut down, they're probably speaking truth. So listen carefully to those who are sharing that kind of thing, because you may not be able, before long, you may not be able to hear them. You may not be able to hear the truth. Therefore, I'll go back to pray for wisdom and discernment. We have to get humbly on our faces before the Lord and say, Lord, I forgive me. Please forgive me for my sins. And I think Benjamin Baruch was talking about praying for our lineage, praying for our precious sons and daughters, grandchildren, future generations, if we do get the privilege of even having any more true human offspring, you know, in terms of even our of having grandchildren. But ultimately, once again, like we've talked about early on in this program, it boils down to we've got to continue to be truth sharers, but we've got to repent of our sins. We've got to ask for forgiveness. We've got to get the word out. And I'm so grateful for the knowledge, the incredible knowledge, the experience that, you know, Paul and Stu, that you guys have, that you guys can share historically what has occurred, the things that you've whistleblown on, and the truth of what has been, what has happened to you and other precious people like yourselves that have such extreme, awesome boldness and are willing to go out and share that, how they've either been imprisoned or they've been killed. My goodness sakes, we've got to honor folks like you that have gone before us and done those kinds of things. And I honestly, the heartbeat of what I'm hearing here in the heartland of Nebraska and the heartland of the United States, hearing people that are traveling through this area on Interstate 80, quite honestly, I'm hearing people are ready. People are ready to take down these absolute sickening leaders who literally are from the pits of hell. They are Satan's minions. And people are ready. We just need to have the leadership that are saying, here's our action plan. Here's the strategy. Here's what we're going to do. Let's be united, lockstep with one another through Jesus' powerful blood. Like Sue said, through the blood of Jesus, we are ready to go to battle.
Very powerful.
Yeah, I think you guys have kind of tied what we're saying into a bow, and the ribbon is clear to me that we all have personal responsibility and things that we have to do individually, and that starts with repentance, and it's genuine repentance. And I think what our culture has emphasized at all costs is, oh, it's all about me. It's all about I deserve this. It's all about what can God do for me? What can Jesus do for me? And so today we've got over 6,000 denominations. We've got 300,000 churches, but less than 25,000 churches by last estimate actually teach what's in the Bible. And so what I guess I can do with this ministry that Stu has provided for us is say, hey, maybe one of the first things you do is you search the scriptures. Mm. And when you search the scriptures, you're going to understand that almost everything we've been told is not God's way or God's word. It's the way of the world. And we're really up against a lot of us, and me personally, you know, I went out in the world and I was going to be successful and made some bad choices, but all in the name of success. You know, it was all because, hey, I wanted to be a difference maker. I wanted to be an important person, and I wanted to have the things of the world. And, of course, you know, you get on that path, and it's kind of hard to see what's really happening around you. And what's really happening around you is the net is closing in on us, and we're all about to be caught in the trap, the snare, so to speak. And that's why I think a lot of people are, they know something's wrong, but can they really describe what it is? And do they really know what Ephesians 6 tells us about who we're up against? And the battle is in the spiritual. And you know, you the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, but you've also got to have the spear so that you can do spiritual warfare. And like Stu and I, for instance, I know one of the things we...
Good, Paul.
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Psalm 22, the angels of protection. I think that's where it's at.
Right. Well, you know, I knew that based on what we did with Dr. Bennett, Scott Bennett, you know, we did a lot of praying. And once you go into warfare like that, then we get attacked. There is a price. There is a price you pay for this. You know, I mean, yet it's certainly well worth it because the price that we're paying right now isn't anything compared to what I think is going to happen. And maybe we can close it down with I've shared a bunch of information recently with all of you, and it's essentially about the timeline that I see is going to happen over the next month or 2 months or 3 months or 6 months. And perhaps Heidi, you can start. Joffrey, you can comment. I am not a prophet. What I am is a futurist. I study a lot of different sources. I try and always be biblically based. But I think, by the time we get to November and a contested election, are really going to have to figure out which side are we on. And that side is either Jesus' side or the side of this world, where we're going to believe in the false promises like that the New World Order people, when they say get on the bus and go to FEMA prison, you know, where you're going to get a warm meal and a place to sleep. You know, that's going to be a choice that some of us are going to get. And if we're not spiritually prepared, we are in big trouble. But anyway, I'm talking.
You're put in the category, Paul. You're put in the category of a watchman, okay? But remember, there's an army developing out here. As Heidi said, she hears it all across the freeway up there, okay? And people all around. I like that idea, which is what I've been preaching about. Arrest politicians.
Yep.
We have the legal right to arrest them. We have the legal right to recall them. The petition to recall is on stuweb.com or on the front page. You're going to pay $150 to the filing fee to the Secretary of State to recall them. For whatever reason, you fill in the blanks of the recall petition. We're going to get the voter list, get your volunteers, and make sure you've got proper signatures based on their IDs, because the voter list will tell you to register voters. And that way you get everybody the legal signatures in the period of time to recall them. I helped two people in Colorado, one helping him get volunteers, and it turns out to be his buddy picks up the recall petition and removes another one. It's in a story on stuweb.com. Simple ways to get rid of them. But we're down to the wire. I've only seen a few recall. This governor has escaped through 4 recalls in California, and I'm down to the point where I'm saying, hey, this spiritual battle, it's no more. It's real. It's bad, and it's going to get worse. And the only thing that's going to protect anybody is having the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ back in you. Now, you got angels of protection, and in my opinion, we got warned angels. What did Jesus say? Anything I've done, you can do more.
You know, I want to turn it back to Heidi and Steve, because we really need to get perspective and insight from you guys. We sometimes go 100 miles an hour, and I know I introduced a pretty sophisticated narrative. If you're not familiar with what I'm saying, then almost any point is going to make you flat-footed. But what do you guys see happening here in October? We're already late September, so October's going to happen. You got a debate here in 2 or 3 nights, and we can just imagine the mainstream media and even the alternative media, the push and the thrust is all going to be about the election and not about recalls. And I'm just trying to keep it real. And so I defer right now to you, Joffrey, and what do you think's happening here over the next 60 days?
Well, kind of like we've covered before, just the aspect of alignment and whose side we're on and whose side we're not on. I would say, you know, they keep talking about an October surprise, and that could just honestly be anything. I don't think... We know they don't want to accept the result if it happens to be Trump. We know they're not going to accept that. To anticipate maybe some type of preemptive event, if things look like they might go Trump's way, that they have to bring an event about to distract and say, look, we can't even go along with this election. We think the whole thing's an absolute sham. We don't accept it. The one party doesn't accept it. The other party thinks they win. You know, we have this, either way, we're moving towards a pinnacle of dissension. And I don't care which side of the fence you're on, it isn't going to matter. It's going to be unacceptable. So you see the potential for war. You see the potential for civil unrest. You see the potential, which we have, the uncivil war. So I guess I would just say, as Christians, we need to toughen up. We need to shape up. We need to see what's important. We need to see through the time thieves. We need an application for our lives. We need to sow to eternal things, not the temporal things, obviously the deception, we talked about that, the spirit of that deception and these dark forces and these witchcraft and these Satanists who are praying against this country. We need to counterbalance that with prayers to Christ from the believing world. The arrows are going all over the place. There's a lot of victims in this thing. But we don't want to be victims. So we do need to toughen up. And I would just, in closing with that comment, we don't really need any more screen time. You talked about time, Paul and Stu. You guys have both mentioned this. We really don't need any more football per se. I love it. Don't get me wrong. it's all wood, hay, and stubble stuff. This is stuff that's not going to last. So I've got to focus, and we and listeners have to focus towards something that's eternal, not the temporal. That's not always easy to do because we're hit with it every day. As soon as we get up in the morning, boom, we're hit with temporal crap. We need to reverse that. We need to get hit with spiritual things. So anyway, I guess that's my opinion. I see a rough patch. And how we get through it is by hanging together. Upon the Lord, so we will get through it.
Amen. And Christ promised it's not going to be easy. If you are a Christ follower, it's going to be rough on this earth. And you know what? That is so short. That's just a little blip on the eternity's map. And that is what gives me hope. I sit here and I think, man, before I even set foot on the ground, I have got to be in prayer. I've got to be asking and calling upon the Lord for the full armor of God to make sure that my mind is ready for battle. I, as a woman, am not to be deceived and by fear. I was deceived. And had Jeffrey not spoke so much truth into me and tried to help me see beyond what the fear that we were being fed. And now I feel like this warrior chick. But you know what? That's the one thing I'm calling upon all women. Women, we've got to be warrior chicks. But through that means we've got to be prayer, intercessory, bold prayer, warrior for the men in our lives, the leaders in our lives. It also means, and I'm convicted on this, and I'm confessing right now, I have not been praying for our enemies. And doggone it, in my distrust or my lack of my little mustard-like seed of faith hasn't even been that big in terms of, hey, why aren't I praying for these leaders who have these, they are have the scales like Saul did, and I sit here and I think, okay, I need to be praying for our enemies as well. I need to be making sure that all the men in my sphere are so just built up to overflowing to feel like, man, they can take on anything. My words need to be affirming to the men in my life, all that my sons, the three of you, the various different men that I'm around, that is something that I can do. But I got to say, just being in prayer, understanding we are all being deceived, confessing to one another. When I get tripped up and I do things that are wrong, I sin, I need to make sure that I confess right away to the Lord and ask for forgiveness of those that I hurt, and then I got to move on because God's already taken that sin and cast it as far as the east is from the west. And I'm going to stand on that truth and I'm ready to go in battle because you know what? We are to take up a cross and follow Christ, and man, that is my mission.
Wow. Well,
if I may add to that, Heidi, that was a mouthful. That came from the heart. Let me add to that. When you pray for somebody, that I've learned, this is a little lesson that God taught. And I'm saying it because only Jesus did it. I didn't have anything to do with it. As he said, pray for their salvation.
Yeah.
Someone salvageable. That's the reason when I ask for and send the war and angels, those that are salvageable bring salvation. Otherwise, get rid of them. Get them off my planet.
I love that.
Okay? Maybe God answer me. Maybe take the humor. I don't know. I'm still breathing. Must be human. Here's a couple of stories. And this is a confession to Jesus Christ, and only he did it. I'm in federal prison out in Denver. A federal judge named Feinsilver, a corrupt bastard, was took bribes through NBC Holdings, Richmond Homes, through construction material. It's the way he was getting his bribes, but never delivered any material, just invoices, like they were doing in the Keating 5 deal, they called it. It was NBC 200, illegal political campaign money laundering, same game. I'm being held by this federal judge illegally on only three people ever charged federal, like I was one of them, for blowing the whistle on them on four scandals. Silverado, the HUD scandal, the Denver airport, and what they dubbed Keating 5, NBC 200. I'm being held because of my ex-in-law, because it was his companies and his little stooges doing all this stuff. So he had me locked up on this charge of terroristic death threats to Jewish family in Denver, him. No, never happened. The threats, supposedly, folks, you can listen to yourself. They're up on Stu Webb radio bar at the very bottom, where I loaded them up first thing on this new site I've created in 2014 or whatever it was. Here's the point. I'm in federal prison. I got a hearing. I stood up in the hearing. Here's this judge thinking he's God Almighty. He's the second level above everybody else. He's got both first class across front running off the microphone. He's overlooking everybody. He's paranoid as shit. He's a head federal judge at the time in Denver. He's around. I always hooked to Larry Mizell, the suit.
Hey, Stu, we're being interfered with. We've lost you. Stu.
Yeah, he's getting jammed up.
Yeah, he is.
Hey, Stu, we're getting jammed. Yeah, you know, the interference, I have to tell you, the spirit of confusion and interference has really been, right after we got off the other show, we have just been jammed, interfered with, and it's the spirit of confusion.
Amen.
Not
you
shocking.
Know, and there again, I mean, it's unbelievable. It is literally unbelievable. You hear this time and time again, and anytime the truth is being shared, once again, it's like you said, it's jammed. It's jammed.
So I guess what we'll do, we'll just let Stu go for a minute here, and maybe he can hear us. Maybe he'll know now he's jammed. Yeah, I don't think he knows.
Nope.
Well, here's what I think we got. I think what we got right now is we've lost him. The audience has lost him. So let's call it quits here. And I will call back Stu and let him. I think we've got a pretty good 55 minutes, and we'll just close with 55 minutes, and then we'll do prayer next time.
That sounds great.
Okay.
Sounds
thanks,
great.
Guys.
Well, all right. God bless you all.
God bless. Yeah. Thank you.
Right.
Talk to you soon. Okay. Bye. Bye-bye. we had a lot of interference. We just had, it was really bad. So here's what I know.
Okay, Paul, hang on. Heidi, you still there?
No, here's what happened. They jammed you, Stu. They would not let you talk. Once you start talking about the judge.
Okay, let's pick it up from there, okay? There's a reason. There's a confession to Jesus. It's only 10 minutes, and I'm done.
Okay, so here's what you have to know. Just hold on for just a minute. Heidi.
Yeah.
They're no longer on.
Okay, I may be still recording, Paul. Let me look. I believe I am. So they're no longer on. Let's finish the conversation for a moment.
Yeah.
So I can finish up the story in case it did record.
Okay.
So I'm in jail. I got this second judge. What it was, the first judge, I demand his recusal, Paul, in case you didn't hear it. And then the second judge was appointed, and I'm back at my rack at the court, at the deal. I know I'm being screwed. I'm in Denver. He held on these fake charges, 10 and a half months it kept me for eventually, but it was up around pushing the 90-day mark. So they played this little game, find Silver, the head judge, played it with this other judge. So he points him. I go back to my Iraq, and the power of prayer, I started praying for everybody's salvation and demanded to God for justice. I demanded to God for justice. Praying. I mean, I was in serious prayer. I was screaming at the Lord. I wanted justice. I didn't do anything illegal to be put in here. And I'm being held in my faith. You won't get me out of here. What is all this about? Anyway, so the next morning, are you still there, Paul?
Yeah. Well,
next morning, they're pounding on my door telling me I got court. That I had court. Anyway, the next morning, I wake up after screaming at the Lord that night and everything. And I wake up the next morning. And I go down to get some breakfast, and then I go to the TV room later because I was pre-trial, so they can't work you. So I go down to the TV room and look on the news, and the judge that was appointed to my case the day before, his son had a Clorox bottle shoved down his throat, people. Listen to this. By two co-cores and one of them's boyfriend who robbed him of the cocaine where he was distributing the cocaine for Larry Mizell, Brownstein, Noman, and all of them, with Rifkin, who owned strip joints in Denver, and it was out of Bobby Rifkin's strip joint. I forgot the name of it.
Yeah.
They had several of them out there, and they all owned them together. And these are the APEC directors, along with Millman and the whole bit. But anyway, so that was when God took the whole thing, the case, and he twisted it, and Richard Mache was appointed as the federal judge on the case, who dismissed the charges against me after he stood up and screamed at the prosecution for wasting $750,000 of the taxpayers' money trying to prosecute an innocent man. Now, that was one time that I saw God intervene, because I prayed for their salvation was the key. And ask him, move him, get this bondage off of me. Why am I here? Well, he took me for a joyride, for a bigger picture to understand what I was up against. Here's the second deal. There was a guy named Ted Gunderson, a former FBI agent, kicked out of the FBI in 1975, 79, put to early retirement after diagnosis of paranoid schizophrenia, who was working for the CIA layover side of it, who turned against all the Patriots and was working Division Number 5 after his retirement, after being kicked out a little bit. Came against me, played buddy-buddy with me. He gets one of his buddies who decided he was going to punch me, and I slammed him against the wall. I got charged with because it was in Gunderson's condominium, who he asked me to watch over, which I did. And this guy shows up in there, and he wasn't supposed to be there. Okay, here's the point. I get charged, then they're playing the game. Oh, he robbed me. Robbed you of what? Oh, he took boxes out of his place. I didn't take any boxes of anything. Here was the deal. I was innocent. I mean, this went on for a year and a half of these bogus charges of assault and battery against this guy. I started praying to God and said, God, I'm innocent. You know I'm innocent. I don't even go to court. I'm tired of seeing it even hanging over my head. I want it rid of. So I started praying for their salvation, my defense attorney, Lori Duffenbaugh. Anybody can call and confirm if she's still a public defender in Las Vegas, which she probably is, probably the head by now, might be retired. The second part of it is she called me up after praying for her salvation, two prosecutors' salvation, the whole bit. She calls me up one morning and says, Stu, how are you? I said, Lori, how are you? And I remember leaning back against the counter. It shocked me of the words. Her words were, Stu, you're a holy man. I said, I started laughing. I said, what did you say back then? She said, you're a holy man. I said, I'm no holy man. What are you talking about? She said, don't know. God's revealed that to me. I said, no, I'm not. She says, well, here's the reason I called. She says, a couple of folks. One was to tell you that. I thought, is it because I'm praying for salvation? Why? I said, well, what's the other? She said, well, she said, the prosecutor in the case against you with Ted Gunderson came to me today in tears at my office. And he says that his son was killed in a car crash last night.
Awesome.
And that God revealed to him that if he doesn't drop the phony charges against Stu Webb, he's next. All because of praying for their salvation. Now, there's two confessions I just gave, plus Baphomet in this conversation today. That's the power of Jesus Christ. It's because I prayed for those punks' salvation. Both him and his assistant, they dismissed the charges against me. That's the power of God. I can tell you, bullets gone past my head sound like bees. Interesting, but the power of God, Paul, you're aware of it. Now, since Heidi's off and Jeff's off, what's in the show? Once you round it off.
Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to continue the show. Thank you for our listeners. Please give all of us the spirit of boldness, the spirit of courage. Bless us with the faith in you and what Jesus did on the cross to make us redeemable. Please bind the spirits of confusion and the evil entities that come up against us when we speak the truth, and place them at Jesus' feet for judgment. And yes, Heidi's message that we need to pray for the salvation even of our enemies. And we know that in all of our families and our listeners' families that many of us have economic issues. We struggle financially. We have health issues. We struggle with our health. And then we have a myriad of other issues, conflict within our families. And the truth of the matter is, why do each of us want another day? Because a lot of us really want salvation for our sons and our daughters and our loved ones and our friends and those that we've disagreed with, those that have waved us off, those that have called us conspiracy theorists. Yes, of course, we know, God, the conspiracy theories are what the mainstream media tells people. And so it's a cruel 180 that we live under. And we also know how this plays out. You've given us all of the prophets. You've given us the story of Adam and Eve and our creation. And you've told us about what your son did for us. And he came and he lived amongst us. And he told us what we needed to do. And we need to do what Jesus commanded, and that is to love you first, place you first in all things, and then to also love our neighbor and to pray for our neighbor. And our neighbor may be our enemy at most times. We pray that you give dreams and visions and opportunities for others and us to witness and to share the gospel of salvation that forever believes in you and believes what Jesus did on the cross, and believes what your plan is for us, which is to have a relationship with you, to love you with all of our hearts and all of our minds, and to allow the Holy Spirit to dwell within us. We know in the flesh, in the carnal, there's only unrighteous and self-righteous. And you know us all too well, Lord. You know that we're fragile and we're perverse. And we ask in Jesus' name, by the blood of Jesus, that you give us all the helmet of salvation, and that you give us all of the blessings and all of the things that we need to serve you in these last days. In Jesus' name, by the blood of Jesus, amen.
Amen. I'm in agreement in the name of Jesus, and by the blood of Jesus, let it be. Amen, Father. Thank you, Paul.
Catch up with you later, my friend. We'll talk soon.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank Heidi and Jeff as well. Have a good day.
We'll do. Okay. Bye.
Thanks.